Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this very beautiful day here today. We're thankful to have you here today. And it is always so nice to have Reverend John White back here today. And it's also a blessing to have his mother, June, here, coming here today. A couple of errata about what's in the bulletin today. So the church has made the Sure Foundation our first opening hymn. The tune that's in the hymnal is different than what we're going to sing it to. I'm going to project the words, but if you want to read it in the hymnal, you are, but we're using a different tune. And also, I hope you enjoy singing today, because for the anthem, the church is going to sing Jacob's Ladder, led by John White. So that'll be good.
We're going to have fun.
And last remaining announcement is there'll be a kind of a short get-together of session members in the library after church today. With that, I'll turn it over to Reverend White.
We bring you greetings from the folks over in New Jersey at Princeton Theological Seminary and the Presbytery in New Brunswick. And as you know, that I am always delighted to be in worship with you, because you are indeed my church home. Friends, let us come before God in worship. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever.
With my mouth I proclaim your greatness to all generations.
I declare that your steadfast love is established forever.
Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens.
Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord.
Your faithfulness is assembly of the whole earth.
Let all those who are able please stand in body and spirit as we sing Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation. We say that we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves and are strangers to the truth. But if we confess our sins before God, our God, who is gracious and just, will forgive us of our wrongdoings. Therefore, let us come together and let us pray together the prayer of confession, which is in our bulletin this day. Holy and merciful God, for the times we have followed the path of the wicked, stood in solidarity with those who were wrong, or sat quietly and allowed sin to happen, forgive us. Help us to meditate, even delight in your word, so that we will flourish with your spirit. Amen. Let us add a moment of our own confession in private. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins.
We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift to us, Jesus Christ. One of the joys that we have in life is to have the opportunity to give a profession of faith together. Therefore, in that spirit, let us indeed join our voices as we profess that faith that was penned more than 1,500 years ago in what we call the Apostles' Creeds. Sisters and brothers, what do you believe? We believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the everlasting. Amen. Friends, we are here as the family of God. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
We are here as the family of God, and I can say that God is good all the time and all the time. Friends, we are here as God's people in this place. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Take time to greet one another in faith. Just the choir is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This is indeed an anthem that's going to be sung by the congregation. At the Princeton Theological Seminary, we have a director of music, his name is Martin Tell. He said his favorite choir is the congregation. It's never all these trained voices, people can read, it's people who love to sing and sing to the Lord. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So we have the words that are on the screens for you. You can just sit down and enjoy this, but sing. If you want to stand up, feel free to do so, but you can be seated. My mother says that I need to let her sit. The song is simple. It's a song that can be sung by children of all ages, including ours. It goes basically, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Give yourself a hand. How about that? Good, please.
We have a number of prayer requests today. First is a prayer request for Joe Cognant. This is Tina Cognant's dad. Tina's asking prayers for her dad, Joe. He had prostate removed because of cancer. There are now complications, some serious. Prayers for healing and comfort during this recovery. He's in Washington P. Hospital. This comes from Kathy Sagey. We have another request from Kathy Sagey for Danny Mellinger. He's a cousin. He had a foot injury that is more serious than expected. Prayers, our healing Savior will give the doctors the wisdom to diagnose and heal this wound. We have prayer requests from John and Carol Kane. Prayers for safe travel for their daughter Stephanie. Continued prayers for their granddaughter Skylar and her safety while she is in Cincinnati one more week. Continued prayers for the neighbor Jim Moran and his family. Prayers for safe travel for us and our daughter and our son-in-law as we all travel next weekend. And then finally, a prayer request. Jim Tagey, a dear friend, respected elder to the church, and a close friend to many individuals in the church, passed away last night in the hospital. Please keep Mona Spearhard, Nancy Tagey, Stephanie Spearhard, and the rest of the Tagey family in your prayers. When the details of the final arrangements are made, we will share them with the congregation. Reverend Wood will be returning in short order to assist, help, and conduct the funeral service. Please keep all these persons in prayers in your mind.
Our hymn of meditation will be, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And if you are so inclined, you are invited to stand as we sing this one. friends, let us come before God in prayer. Great God, as we see the state of the world in which we live, we know that there is pain. We pray for families trying to come to grips with loss, with tragedy. We pray for the Taggy family as they grieve. We pray for members of this congregation who are hurting to such an extent that they were not able to attend worship on this day. We pray for friends and cousins who are in need of healing. We pray for those whose names are only known to you. Great God, we know that the nation is saddened by the horrific events that unfolded before our eyes in Missouri, as indeed 17 lives were lost, 9 in one family, in that tragic boat accident. Great God, comfort the family members there. Comfort those who witnessed that. Help us all to realize that you are the God of all life, and yes, that you are the God who has indeed allowed us to conquer even the pain of death. And as we even hear of these tragedies and this pain that goes on, we know that there are moments when we can rejoice. We rejoice, we are elated when we hear of young people being saved from caves in Thailand. Great God, help us all to indeed feel those moments when you can lift us up and to see that everything is not sad in this world. Because as we come together, we feel the unifying presence of your love, and for that we give thanks. Great God, this is the season where so many people are traveling, and we ask indeed that you would have traveling mercies on members of this congregation who are away on vacation, who are traveling to visit family, coming from families, that we indeed may indeed feel that you are that traveling companion with us. Great God, you have been there every step of our journey, even when we were not aware of it. So great God, we come before you giving thanks on this day, knowing that you are the unifying power in our life. And we ask indeed that you would lift up our voices together as we pray to you that prayer which you have taught your disciples and us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we know that we can only give of that which we have received. And we know that we have received all goodness from our God. So we are thankful for this opportunity to give back some of which we have received. We ask that the ushers and those receiving offering would please come forward at this time.
Praise God.
for the opportunity to give. Because as we do so, we support the ministries, not just of this congregation, but of the worldwide church. We ask indeed that we can give not just physically with dollars, but also physically with our hands. We ask indeed that our hearts may be motivated to give, because you have given so much to us, most notably in the person of your son Jesus, and we pray in his name, amen.
I'm going to say good morning again, but I think I've said it to most people twice already this morning. We're going to skip that part. I actually had an opportunity to attend a service last week at another church where this same scripture was being read. And I'm reminded of what Paul was saying in this scripture as the word of Jesus and the salvation went out, and the teaching, the Jews who followed all the traditions and all the laws couldn't deal with the fact that the Gentiles were also saved, and here in this scripture, Paul is explaining to the Gentiles how in Jesus we are all one and brought together, and there's unity there. And this is Ephesians 2:11-20. So then remember that at the time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at the time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for that inspiring reading of God's word for us. Before I begin the message, I would like to thank the session for indeed the invitation to come and to be with you once again. Last several weeks have been crazy, and I was thinking, perhaps the people of Glenshaw Valley forgot when I mentioned last time that I would be back in town this particular weekend for my high school reunion. And then Nancy Baldwin sent me an email. I said, wow, she remembered. And I was trying to talk my way out of it. I said, you know, I'm sort of crazily busy and all this other kind of stuff. But she made a compelling argument for why I should come. She said things would not end well for her if indeed I didn't show up. And I said I did not want to see any harm come to her, so I had to show up. And she can verify that's what I said. And then Mickey got a hold of me. And she got into more trouble. She got me into more trouble. And she said, won't you try to help sing a song? And I said, yikes. Well, we did that as well. But it's good to be with you. Friends, let's pray. Because I need prayer. Great God, we thank you for the gift of your word. for the magnificence of your love. We pray that indeed the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will always be indeed edifying, welcomed by you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, the distance between the ancient cities of Ephesus and Jerusalem, it's about 610 miles if you were to draw a straight line between the two. This is about the distance between our cities of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Atlanta, Georgia. Now, most of us who are of age and in good health would not hesitate to get into a car and to drive between these two great American cities. Now, we clearly know that there are differences between the two. I lived in both. Atlanta is known for its barbecue and its fried chicken. We in Pittsburgh, we have our Permane Brothers sandwiches. We have our pierogies. We have our ravioli and everything else Italian. We have winters. Atlanta, not as much, even though they think that it gets cold down there. If you get a half inch of snow there, they cancel everything in town. They lose their mind. We have an NFL team that has won 6 Super Bowls. They would just love to have one title. I have friends who live in Atlanta, and they are still stunned by the end of that Super Bowl a year and a half ago. Now, even though these two cities have their own unique characteristics, we cannot deny that they also have some notable similarities, mostly in that they are in the same country and within the same culture, whether we say y'all or you-ins. The differences between the cities of Ephesus and Jerusalem seemed like they were a world apart, literally. Whereas today we can travel a distance of 600 miles in about 12 hours driving, including stops, it would have taken a person of the first century AD weeks to cover the same distance if they were on land, and a long time if they were on sea as well. However, the largest differences between these two cities would not have been in terms of distance. It would have been in terms of culture, in terms of nationality, in terms of history, in terms of religion. Their minds would have them thinking that they wanted to have nothing to do with the other. You know how folks do that? Those folks. Ooh, those folks. You know, my friends, something insidiously evil happens to us when we do not want to have anything to do with another person or another group of persons. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen.
Amen.
We tend to demonize them, thinking about them as being less than human, or perhaps we are simply trying to build ourselves up to convince ourselves that we are better than them, whoever the them may be. In the process, we build up our walls of hostility, preferring not to be stained or contaminated by the other. We do this in terms of nationality, in terms of political parties, in terms of race, in terms whether a person is gay or straight, and whether people are poor or rich, what part of town do people live in. You see, our friends from antiquity were no better than us. Or perhaps I should more correctly say that we are no better than them, because they were here a lot longer and a lot earlier than we were. So into this world of division and hate, we have folks. Folks trying to tear folks apart, and into this whole argument, we find the teachings of the apostle on the ways of the Christ. We thank God for the ways and the words of unity. However, my friends, before we move ahead too quickly, let us be reminded of the setting for our passage this morning. The ancient city of Ephesus was located in the nation that we now call what? Turkey. Turkey. Ephesus, at the time, it was a coastal city. And I had the privilege of visiting its archaeological ruins during a trip there in 2017. You see, Ephesus is not on the coast nowadays because of the way that the silt and everything has filled it in. It's actually 30 miles inland now. But it was, believe me, all the scholars who know a lot more than I, they tell us that it was a coastal city. It was a place of some standing, and not just because it was a major seaport at a time, welcoming visitors and products from around the world. You may recall that story in Acts the 19th chapter. I know there's all these biblical scholars in here, where we have Paul's missionary journey that took him through Ephesus, and he had a dispute with the silversmiths. He had that dispute because those silversmiths were making money selling shrines, selling trinkets to people who were worshiping the goddess Artemis or Diana. Artemis in Greek, Diana for the Romans. Paul preaching the gospel of Christ cut into their business, and these silversmiths were not happy one bit. The city also had a revered position in the intellectual and cultural scene of its day, particularly known for its tremendous library. There were two great libraries of antiquity. One was there in Ephesus, the other was in Alexandria. These were the most famous libraries in the ancient world. While being respectful of their heritage, the apostle was mindful of the fact that the majority of the inhabitants of the city and the local church were Gentiles, not Jewish by birth. You correctly mentioned this in your introduction to the passage reading. Paul knew that there would have been some in their numbers who were looking to hold this reality against them, trying to make them feel bad, less than they were. We're Jewish, we're above you, you're Gentiles, nah. Look at them, they're not good enough. And there would have been Gentiles who might have been confused by their own standings in terms of their salvation. They were thinking, do I need to convert to Judaism before I can be accepted in the communion of the church? The wording of verse 12 in our passage would have represented their understanding. Remember that you were at a time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And it is into this discussion that the Apostle Paul speaks the sobering words of the saving grace of God that is open to all. This is the crux of it. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. You see, my friends, the truth that Jesus was sacrificed for us on the cross is the great equalizer. By that singular act, we have all been lifted up so that we can be assured that we belong to something beyond our wildest dreams. And let's face it, my friends, we all want to belong to something large. We all want to belong to something great. Now, over the past several years, we have seen the rising influence of companies such as Ancestry.com and 23andMe. How many people have seen those advertisements about these companies? I could ask how many of you have used them, but I'm not going to ask that. I'm not going there. According to one of their websites, we are told that ancestry helps you understand your genealogy. It also goes on to say that ancestry DNA reveals the places you're from and so much more, with databases from more than 20 billion records. Wow. No wonder so many people are flocking to be included in the mix. We all want to know to whom we belong. We all want to be a part of something and someone great. Would it not be great, my friends, to discover that you have a relative who was a multimillionaire and that the authorities have been looking for an heir? And it happens to be you. Wouldn't that be something? Just then I saw several of your eyes light up. And you were making those mental notes, huh? Yeah, that's right. Ancestry.com, 23andMe. But my friends, here is the good news. You do not have to reach for a long shot of a possibility to come to the realization that you, that we are a part of something that is more than great. You see, in verses 19 and 20, we read, you are no longer strangers. You are no longer aliens. But, I love it when the scripture says, but. It means, let me give you something else. You are citizens with the saints and with the prophets and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus, who himself is the cornerstone. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
My friends, that's good news. That is better than good. Now, as one who has served as a pastor for now the majority of my young life, I have led more than my fair share of new member classes, and they're all great. Nothing's greater than leading the class as a pastor when you have people joining a church. Now, assuming that most of you have been in attendance at similar gatherings, whether you have been a part of the group that was joining a church, or maybe you have been an elder or deacon who was leading such classes, you are quite familiar with the questions that would have been asked in those particular new member classes. Where do you live? What led you to this church? Oh yeah, and tell us, where were you at before? Have you always been here, or did you move from Mars, literally Mars, Pennsylvania? What gifts do you bring to this ministry? Such questions serve a multitude of functions to a certain extent. They are indeed conversation starters for a group. Many of times they have not known each other, people in that room, or they can provide the church with valuable information. And I have always been intrigued by the answer to another one of these questions. That question is, okay, why do you want to join this church? Why do you want to join this church? Now, persons will cite matters of faith. They will cite programming for their children, for the young people. They'll cite music. And they may even talk about the preaching of the pastor. They will always talk about the food of the fellowship hour. Perhaps they will note a crisis in their life that has led them back to the church after some time away from religious institutions. And there is another answer that may be spoken but is often implied. Folks will acknowledge that they want to belong. They want to belong to a community, and specifically to a community of faith. The fact that Christ is the cornerstone of the church and of our faith is a defining characteristic of who we are. Verses 21 and 22 state it well. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Christ is that cornerstone for us, and then we are joined together. Like a mason puts together the bricks of a building. Our worship of God should be at the center of who we are and who we are to become as a family in Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, earlier I mentioned companies available to help us with our genealogy. One of them touts the phrase, find out where your DNA is from and take the trip of a lifetime. Don't you love these ads? They just grab your money and run. Now, I would like to change that up a bit. I would prefer to say, know where you are in Christ and take the trip of a lifetime. Take the trip of eternity. There's no DNA company that can do that. My friends, we are part of a journey that has begun with the beginning of time, that continues through the present and goes on forever. It is not just about us feeling good about who we are. It's about us transforming this world together with the knowledge of who we are in the wider family of God, and with actions that are infused by the saving grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news. All praise, all glory, all honor be to God this day and every day. And let the people of God say amen,
amen
and amen. Let's pray together. Great God, thank you for joining us together as your people in this place. Not just for this day, but for eternity. We are thankful for the love that you have shown to us in Christ Jesus. And may we indeed be infectious as we share that love with the world. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to have some more fun with this last song. Okay. Now, this one is in your hymn book, 853. It's a song that comes from Africa. Now, Siyahamba. Say that for me. Everybody say that again. Siyahamba. Come, oh, whoa. Look, open to page 853. I know that, see, we're all joined together with people from around the world. So we're going to learn something new with people from other parts of the world. You know, it's interesting having worshipped in South Africa because, you know, they don't have a lot of fancy instruments in South Africa. I went to worship there, led worship at a place in South Africa. A guy just got up, he had a book, and he just hit something, and they started singing. I said, whoa, how about that? But this song, now, if you look at it, page 853, it says, Siyahamba. It's four syllables. Siyahamba. Let's try it. Siyahamba. Okay, you got a new word. Okay. But I don't know if we're ready to do that in that language yet. But I wanted you to know that word. We're going to sing it in English. 853, we are marching in the light of God. And if you look there on the next page, at the bottom there are three other verses. We are dancing, we are praying, we are singing, and we're going to have fun. It says additional stanzas ad lib. This is an ad lib group. We can do it, friends. Let's stand up and sing to the glory of God about we are marching in the light of God.
We are marching in the light.
marching. We're more like crawling rather than marching right now. Okay. And so next one we're going to do, we are dancing. We're going to loosen up. By fourth verse, we're going to get there. And see, we're on the second page where it says, we are marching, we are marching, we are marching. Ooh. We want some people who are sopranos here to go, ooh. We can do that. Okay, so where did this have some fun? It's like it says, make a joyful noise. It doesn't say we have to be on key. So we'll just make a noise. Let's sing. Let's go ahead.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship we share in the Holy Spirit be with us this day and every day, and that the people of God say,
Amen. Amen.